Oh yeah. We're about to get nerdy with behind the scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What is happening, crew? Welcome to After Hours on this Thursday evening. It is, what is it? What is the date? I don't even know. The 7th of March is what it is. So tonight we're going to be talking about something we've talked about briefly in the past, something that I've actually been reading up on, trying to figure out and learn. So we'll sort of, I guess, learn together tonight. But before we get started into the wonderful world of press releases, let's run through the panel we got here. Say hello to everybody. Mr. Gizzard is with us. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Glover. Thanks for the invite.
Bet. G-Webs in the house. What's up?
Thanks for the invite. Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, me too. And hopefully, Mr. Hosh here can help us out quite a bit. So, welcome, Hosh.
Hey, thank you so much. How's it going, everybody?
Got Budget is in the house with us, as almost always.
I try. Love this show, man. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. And I don't know how this next one he snuck in, but it happens. What's up, Nice Track?
Hey, thanks for the invite.
You bet. And we've got that guy's wife with us.
Yeah, thank you for letting me join. Thanks.
You bet. So let's sort of dive into this. I know when the topic of press releases came up, it's been, a month or maybe even two ago now. It's been a while. It was something that blindsided me, and I didn't think about it. And as far as the intricacies of press releases, we receive press releases pretty much all the time as creators, as you get into different industries and different news outlets and things like that. You receive these things, but you don't think about how we might can utilize them the opposite way around. In other words, writing press releases and sending them out for certain projects and stuff like that. So that's what we're going to kind of tackle tonight. We're going to kind of tackle, you know, when you write a press release, what is it? How does it need to be written? What's the flow need to look like? What kind of information needs to be in there? And then talk a little bit about the distribution side of things, hopefully, and, you know, where are the best places to send those out, the most effective places to send those out. Before we jump into that, though, let me grab a link here and throw into the chats over on the YouTube side, and then also on the Gun Channel side, where I do have the chat up. And also remind everybody out there that if you have those nerd questions, be sure to put them in the chat either side. We'll try to get those answered. And if you're listening in replay as well, drop the questions that you've got, comments, whatever, down below, and we'll try to handle them as they pop up. But I'm just curious if anybody here has had any experience sending out press releases. I think at some time or another, we've all had the experience of receiving them, but have we sent any out? Gizzard?
I don't believe I ever have, no.
Okay. G-Webs, what about you?
Yeah, I think the first time was back whenever you do your Eagle Scout project, you can put as much effort into it or as little, so I was trying to learn from it, and that was part of it. So I was doing like a recycling thing, and I put a press release out at the time to like newspapers. And then I didn't think about it again really until, I guess, when I was doing some of the playing cards the first time around, I did them and didn't have great success, so I quit doing them until you guys started talking about it again. But I didn't. I only put like half effort into them. I didn't have any real knowledge or experience with it, so I was just doing it to go through the motions, I think.
Gotcha. Well, that's more than I think most of us have done, for sure. Hosh, I know you're the one that initially brought this topic up a while back. You got quite a bit of experience with that sort of thing?
I have a bit of experience. My wife is the real expert, but I did kind of talk to her about it before coming out here. And I kind of put an analogy together. If you remember back when you were in, like, in high school and you were going to venture out into the workforce, you had to have a resume, right? But the thing that was recommended that separates you from other people was a cover letter. And so if you think about it, a press release is kind of like a cover letter. The goal of a cover letter is to kind of make you stand out amongst the crowd to get you a job. A cover letter's job is to make you stand out and get you coverage from whatever that avenue is, whether that avenue is some kind of media outlet or something like that. So that's kind of how we've been using it for the Ham Radio Crash Course.
All right, sweet. Budget, what about you?
No, they keep me away from reporters.
Got you. Night Strike.
I need to start doing them. I haven't done any yet, but I need to start doing them for GunTube.
Okay. Well, hopefully this will get you going. That guy's wife, what about you?
No, I'm here to learn so that I can move forward using it.
Awesome. Let me pull up my link here because I did paste that link in both the chats. And Hosh had sent this to me earlier, and I read through it, and it's pretty basic. So
yeah, it's very simple.
We won't go into all of it, but a couple of things sticks out. It talks here real quickly. It starts. Hang on just a second. So I've got stupid videos wanting to pop up on the page. Hopefully they're not playing where you can hear them. But yeah, it pretty much starts it out, and it gives an analogy of a chef, which I thought was kind of interesting. Thank goodness Pancakes is not here. He would probably get the big head, but it talks about the structure, and what Hosh said earlier is right. It's fairly short form from what I'm reading in here, but you've got a headline, you've got an opening sentence, a body, and that's what is the story, why does it matter, and then contact information. And then it makes a analogy here. It says everyone has constraints. Chefs work within an 8-inch pan to create an omelet. The great ones know how to pick the best ingredients and mix them to create a savory sensation. Says writers can season their sentences within the confines of a release. And then it goes on, gives a few examples in here of what to do as far as the subject line. It makes a really good point that I never thought about. But when we're, and I think this applies not just to press releases, but maybe if we're sending any type of an email inquiry in general, that how much attention are we actually paying to that subject line? And, you know, it talks about a lot of these people, they could be getting, 500, 1,000 emails a day, something like that. And the subject line has got to be able to catch their attention and catch their eye without looking spammy, of course. So it goes through several different subject lines that they use. And it goes on. It says that you want to use appealing data. I think that's an obvious one. You want to paint a picture. You want to answer a question. And you want to apply alliteration. And then what we were talking about being kind of short form, getting to the point, just having, the information they need in an appealing way, more or less. It definitely makes the point in this article about getting to your point and not rambling on. And it gives some examples of those particular headlines. And some good examples are UpPitch app to give shares in company to PR firms. Three tips for success on social media. And those it gives is really good examples. Then it goes to bad examples as well. So we go back through, and as we're going down, we finish off in this article just talking about that structure again. The short, catchy headline, get to the point in that first sentence, in the first paragraph, rather, the summary, get to the point there. That way you catch their attention, you can intrigue them. And then if you've got them hooked, I guess, more or less is the way I took this article. Once you've got them hooked at that point, then the body goes into more of the detail. Is that pretty much what you thought with this article, Hosh, that it was saying?
Yeah, I mean, I always have a goal in mind of what you're trying to do. So if you're reaching out to some kind of media, then you want to hook them on an idea of what content it is you're creating that would be good for their viewership. So you kind of have to have a seller's mindset in mind. Like, what are you making their life easier? How are you making their life easier? I've used press releases for contacting companies I really liked to send me a demonstration item that I could review because I was kind of already a fan. So it was like, hey guys, I've already used this before. I want to have one for longer term. Can you send me one kind of thing? And it's like, you know, pretty much a no-brainer, right? It's easy for them because it's marketing to a certain degree, but they've got to do very little work. I've sent them to people I want to talk to, like in an interview. I make it pretty simple, you know, just, hey, you have content that is not completely like mine, but we have a lot of parallels. And I think that, you know, it'd be good if we both kind of work together. So you kind of have that three-part body, right? That three-part body is like your hook statement. And then your second part is to kind of back it up with something you're doing or will be doing. And then the body, which explains more detail, that kind of thing.
Right. So you're saying, so you've used this format, I mean, press release. When I think press release, my mind goes to, I'm sending this to a publication or media outlet. And kind of like I said at the first, I can kind of see this method being applicable on a bunch of different levels. Kind of like you say, for product request or, you know, maybe requesting something to review or trying to get somebody on a podcast. Kind of the same approach can be applied even to that.
I think the easiest thing to think of is like, yeah, I want somebody to do an article on us, or I want somebody to do a video or whatever. So, you know, we sent Ham Radio Crash Course press releases to a lot of ham radio publications and explained like what we're doing. We use new media, which works a little bit better with younger folks in getting them licensed. And we've seen a really great result from that. And so we send it out to them to say like, hey, you know, this is something you guys don't generally cover. This might be interesting because it's kind of the new generation of amateur radio operators, you know, coming out there. And so you may want to cover that. Like, that's a really easy example. But I use the other examples as kind of more of a thought process. The concept of a press release is, as you said, and as defined in that Forbes article, pretty straightforward. It's a thing, a mechanism, if you will, to just convey what it is you're doing and what it is you're doing and how it could be helpful to whomever you're contacting. Because that's really what it is at the end of the day. It's just that when you break it right down.
And do you see, I watched several videos and I read a few other articles. Like I said, this particular one you sent was great because it got my wheels turning. And I was, you got to have a starting point always. And it was a starting point for me to start looking into some other things. And some of the other things I found, had to do with, you know, how you wanted to tailor and write things. So is it better to have anything like in a form, or to write, in your opinion, or to write all of your press releases pretty much on the fly, catered to that specific industry or company or niche or market or whatever?
You gotta target it, I think. Just like you target your resume or a cover letter, right? You gotta target it for the company. You gotta target what you understand about them, or what you think you understand, and what you think how you're a fit.
Gotcha. Let's run through the panel real quick, make sure we don't have any questions. Everybody's following. G-Webs, I'll go to you. You have any questions or anything to add?
I guess I don't see how you guys are talking about using it for like product requests. I think of a press release as, I think when we were talking about this with Hosh last time, it's sort of like the institutionalized traditional like system or something. Like it's something that's been around for a long time. So you're sending it like to the person who's in charge of like the calendar or the scheduling, like the news scheduling portion of the news department or the periodical or whatever it is. And I think of it more like that. Like you're using their format in order to further your reach, because you're not trying to put stuff into their system that they're not looking for. You're not trying to monkey the system. You're just trying to use the system the way it's designed as efficiently as possible, or as like correctly as possible, in order to get the most potential out of it. That's what I thought a press release was, like trying to be as.
Oh, you're right. I mean,
to the format.
You're right. In the most traditional sense, it is, but it's kind of more of a thought process in how you're exchanging information, right? Or how you're trying to get activity or people looking at what you're doing. In the way we used it when we first started talking about this was, you know, reaching out to standard publications like newspapers or a gun magazine or a blog, in having them cover some a special event that you're planning for your channel. For example, the different events that you do, GWebs, would be an example of something that you'd send out to different publications. Now, for GWebs' sake, that could be a form letter, more of a traditional standardized form letter. Same rules apply, the alliteration, the brevity, all of that, to add more eyeballs to it. And I know I don't want to go too far, I'll let other people talk, but we did talk about actually reaching out to people that were not necessarily pro-gun, for instance, and using this mechanism as kind of a way to get them, you know, to look at what's going on or what we're doing. Because I think the topic started with normalizing gun use, and we kind of started going down this path.
Yes.
It wasn't every second matters, I think, right? It was just the idea of how to use the existing channels to our advantage, or did you bring up that concept of using the existing channels instead of just always trying to...
We kind of dived into the article, but yeah, initially when we started talking about this, we were talking about applying it directly to using all the avenues in our hands to reach a larger audience. And the concept of normalizing firearm use is that you want to get more people looking, even those that aren't your fans, you know?
Right. And I think it's going to depend on why you're using it, right? It's going to depend on the project or the task at hand. You know, when we were talking about, you know, potentially for a partnership, be it with product or, you know, another channel or something like that, like you were talking about, Hosh, that's going to be a different scenario, a different use for it than, you know, I've got a project, something like, you know, the patch batch or, you know, the 2A workshops that are being done. You know, that's everything is going to be kind of unique. And I think that's where I get hung up, because the process is sort of vague. And then depending on how you want to reach out or who you want to reach out to, I guess the way it's got to be written is going to be different. And in some instances you can get away with it being a little less specific, but in other instances, you're going to have to be very specific to get their attention, I think. Gizzard, I'll let you jump in. Do you have anything to add or any questions or anything so far?
No, I don't have anything to add. I'm still trying to think of a scenario where I would use something like this. Mm-hmm. I'm not real sure, you know, especially being a small channel, that I would have any event like that I would make use of a statement like this, but it's something I need to file for later for sure.
Right. That guy's wife, what about you? The wheels are probably turning with some of the projects you're involved in.
Oh, my wheels are definitely turning, and I've already followed the link and been reading through the article that's on there. So yeah.
Awesome. And, same goes for you, Night Strike. You probably said earlier you needed to be getting some stuff done. So I think it'd be a plus for you to to branch out and do some of these. But you have any questions or anything to add?
Not at the moment. I'm just sucking it all up.
Gotcha. Good enough. Budget, what about you, buddy?
From a writing standpoint, it seems like it's extremely simple and basic, you know, format to follow. It's just I'm, you know, like Giz, I'm trying to figure out where I would use it. I'm sure if I sit down and think about it long enough, I'll come up with a reason why I would. But, you know, just offhand listening to this, I'm not sure I'm at that point yet. However, that being said, I think it's good knowledge to have in case you do need it. You know, knowledge doesn't weigh anything, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that my mind just kind of went blank.
And if you went through the panel, I got stuff to throw in there, and I got a thing for Gary and Budget.
Yeah.
So I'll start backwards with Gary and Budget. So I think of press releases, again, from back when I was a kid, and it was just newspapers and radio. And they also had radio. So you would send press releases to radio. Like, we'd have a pancake breakfast every so often. I forget now. But, you know, you'd have a pancake breakfast to raise money. Mm-hmm. So you can get a certain amount of attention to something like that by going out. And we'd have meetings once a week, and we would branch out from that meeting for, I don't know, let's say an hour. And we would go just basically door to door and let the people in the area knew, maybe sell tickets, I don't know, put out word that we're going to have this pancake breakfast. So the neighborhood knew about it because we'd been there, that troop had been there a long time, and it was a regular thing. But in addition to that, when we started putting our minds to it, and I'm not taking credit for this, some of the other kids figured it out, but we started calling the radio stations, and even if you call radio stations nowhere near you, people are going to hear about it. Old people that are like, oh, I want to support a scout troop. Like, I'm going to go eat breakfast there that weekend. So all of a sudden you get a swell, because if you're used to getting 100 and you get 200, that's a big deal, right? So I saw the effectiveness of press releases way back then. So if you guys are thinking about events only, your shows are events. So Gary, and for Budget, you guys have scheduled shows that you do on a regular basis, and every week you're adding more to that list. Like, you know, so you can say I'm on episode 10. So you can put out press releases for like, hey, I have a special episode where I have a special guest, right? But you can also think of a press release as a persistent bird in the ear, or whisper in the ear. So I think of a press release as a procedural. It's like a letter to the editor is one thing. A classified ad is one thing. Being a paid writer is one thing. And then press releases are one thing. So it's a way, it's an established method of communication with a publishing company. So that when I think of it as that sort of role, then I think of the press release as a persistent reminder. It's a introduction, like a business card, so to speak, where you're saying, I'm an expert in the field and I do this podcast every week. Keep me in your Rolodex. And it's because of the format, it's not like an email where you're like, hey, I'm annoying you. Hey, I'm annoying you. Hey, here's me again. Hey, I'm annoying you. When it's set up as a press release, it's like going to that channel. It's like sending it to the appropriate email. So when they are interested and when they have need, when they're looking for a resource, they go to their press releases and see who's following the rules and who's doing all the things we were just talking about, making it appealing and useful, but in that procedure, so that you're not bugging them with an email that gets either deleted or just tossed in spam or filtered completely and never seen, but instead you're doing an established channel and you're doing it in alignment with their format, and you're basically letting them know about your show or something like that. So that's where I would think you guys could use the concept of a press release. And I think the reason to do it is not just this extra reach, but then the skill set that we acquire. So once we're familiar with how to create a press release, we're more familiar with the power of them. And what I was going to say before Gary asked that question was, one of the things I forgot to add was, when I first did my press releases for the card decks, the first ones, the AK-47 ones, I got a lot of feedback. Like, I sent people sloppy emails, and they basically sent back, this needs to be in this format. We need artwork in this, you know, this dimensions. And then we're more than happy to facilitate letting people know about this. It's just that you can't just send them some, you can't expect to send an editor or publisher or somebody who's, you know, filtering through all the data that they get, all the email that they get. You can't expect them to then format every email. I mean, if your stuff was super important or super brilliant, yeah, they're going to tidy it up for you. But what they're really looking for is something that they can copy and paste, copy and paste. Because if they're trying to fill something on a periodic basis, they want to do as little effort as possible. So the more that you can conform to their format, and they can depend on you as someone they can copy and paste. And if they don't get pushback on it, if you're not doing anything controversial and you're doing something that adds to their project, if they can copy and paste, then your press releases become a sort of like a reputation score. Like they're saying, oh, okay, I know I can go get a press release from this guy if I need to do a 2A topic, or if I need to do a gun topic, I can grab this guy's press release.
Did you find that because you centered it around like it's kind of like an event doing your cards in a way. Did you find that got more traction?
I can't say because I only did it once and I got feedback. I was just going to throw in there that I got that feedback because like I said, I sent it really sloppy. I got feedback and I was like, well, that's interesting. And then I didn't even hardly think about it again because I didn't have time. I didn't appreciate and I didn't bother. There's no other excuse. I just didn't bother to follow up with the appropriate one. I might have got better reach and I might have sold more cards and I might have got rich. We might not be having this conversation, but whenever we started talking about that for Every Second Matters, I didn't even think about it until right now that I did get a little bit of feedback. And I guess that's what I was going to throw out there, that if you're thinking, why should I do this? I don't have an event coming up, or, you know, my show's not worthy, or whatever the hell you're going to tell yourself to not do it. Do it, because once you do the first one and the second one, the people that are out there aren't, I mean, I guess some of them are going to be jerks, but in my experience, they were like, hey, can you send it to us in this format? And now you know what format to send it in. And the next time they might give you some advice like, hey, send us stuff that's more, you know, about gear or more about handguns or more about 2A. You know, they might give you some more insight as you do it, and everything gets easier as you do it more.
Yeah. With budget, when budget was talking, the one thing that I was gonna ask him, I know he recently did an online review with Gear Report, and what I was gonna ask him was writing that, because with these newsletters, we're talking about the writing aspect of things, not really the video or the audio, the podcast stuff, which is a whole different ball game. Did you struggle at all with that budget?
No, not a bit. Really? I've always been extremely. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I guess I'm going to toot my own horn. I've always been really good at writing. Matter of fact, I'm far better with the written word than I am speaking. It was kind of a struggle for me to get in front of the camera the first time I did it. And, you know, if you go back and look at my first live streams as opposed to now, I mean, I'm a lot better. But I think I've always been far more comfortable writing because I can revise things. Writing has never been an issue for me.
Well, for me, it was more than the writing. I mean, putting the words down is one thing, but then kind of like G-Webs was talking about with the flow and the format and that sort of thing. I had some issues with, you know, the way they wanted to flow that I had to go back and I kept having to modify and play with that. And then also dealing with readability and SEO. And I don't know if you went that far when you wrote yours or not, but
yes,
that's where I had more of the difficulty. Getting the thoughts down was easy. Getting everything tailored to that specific format was more where I seemed to have an issue. But then the more I did it, the more I understood. So it's just like everything. I mean, well, practice.
Not to go off on a tangent and try to derail things, but the app that the plugin that they're using, the Yoast, the SEO and then the readability stuff, man, that I found that to be really helpful with kind of putting a little tweak here and a little tweak there to fine tune things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a good plugin. I'm going to take a break just for a quick second here because I do want to throw some links out there, and real quickly, since we kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent anyway, talk about the 2A patch batch for 2019. And let me get the link out. There's the one on Gun Channel, so I'll put the link out there on the YouTube side as well. If you're listening to this in replay, I'll get that link down below. But there's less than a week left on this, so definitely want to jump on it if you're interested. It involves 12 Pro 2A organizations, media companies, channels, that sort of thing. Kind of collaborated together to bring you a special collection of 12 patches. And you can buy into that. It comes out to shipping and all. It comes out to, you know, less than $5 a patch, which is a heck of a deal. And really the only way to get that entire collection is to buy into the patch batch. But more importantly than that, you're going to be supporting 12 different organizations, channels, people that are out there efforting toward the Pro 2A movement. And while I'm taking a break, mention that we're still open to the nerd questions and stuff out there in the chat. If you have those, or again, if you're listening in replay, drop those down below. Hosh, I know you was wanting to jump in there. Do you you want to take it over?
I'm just a comment to add to what G-Webs was already saying. So what we did was I produced content like the classes we do for getting your technician and your general class license for amateur radio. And so we produced a press release in that regard. So that went out to different publications. And I think we went out to like four or five. There's not a lot in amateur radio. And I think we got one. Again, kind of like what G-Webs was saying, you got to focus on your format. And I'm taking a note on his. The images are a really good idea, and making sure they're in the right format for them and the right deal. So I'm making a note on that to improve upon what we're already doing. For patches and stuff like that, I don't know if patches are kind of a staple now for lots of different groups. But if you're releasing like a product that's kind of new to the market or in a major different tweak in a new way, then that kind of just writes its own press release. And that's what you use for that. That's an easy way to go too.
Yeah, I agree. I want to... I'll just shift gears a little bit. This article didn't cover this, and this is something that I did follow up with a few other articles and watched a couple of the videos talking about the actual distribution. And we hit on it earlier a little bit, but depending on the project at hand, what that particular press release is about is, of course, going to determine who you're going to send it to. And I think that's, you know, focused is always better. So in the sense, and I'll start with you, Hosh, on this, but in the sense that what G-Web brought up with Gizzard or Budget and just wanting to promote, bring awareness to their shows, where would you want to send those press releases? Where do you think the best place would be to get the best response? I mean, just sending it to something like Forbes, for example, you know, it's somebody, just the business community in general probably is too broad, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you gotta pick your target again, and you want coverage, but you want coverage that isn't necessarily already covered by the whatever institution that may have ads on a training center, for example. Like if you're releasing training courses, they may already have ads. They may not want to do that. So you got to pick who you're going to interface with. For guns, it's kind of a tough thing because there's a lot of large publications out there that may already have covered what you're doing. So that's when I go back to like, well, what are you doing that's different or special? Or perhaps there's a blog you can reach out to that produces a really popular blog and may not cover training or may not cover this, that, and the other. That would be a good place to potentially reach out to. Think of it as like, just like G-Web said, extending your growth outside of what you're already in. So if you're in YouTube and you're on Instagram and you want to break out to other things, then that would be one way to go.
Right. And I think that's going to be the more difficult portion of this, is figuring out where to send those. And that's why, you know, I kind of want to run through the panel here, kind of brainstorm. I mean, as your wheels are turning on this, can you think of publications or organizations or, you know, other places? Where are you thinking that you'd like to send these? Budget, do you have any ideas on that?
Well, what would immediately come to mind would be my state level gun rights groups. You know, thinking about that, if I'm talking about trying to send out a press release in order to promote the show, I mean, that would be the obvious one. You know, send it out to like Buckeye Firearms Association, Ohioans for Concealed Carry, Ohio gun owners, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was somebody talking, and I believe it was Sandy that was talking the other day, and it may have been a private conversation with him, but he was talking about, he's in Nebraska, And he was talking about how he would like to see, you know, with his, the show he does on Tuesday, the 2A Tuesdays, he would like to see more Nebraskans, you know, coming in and taking part and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think that would be that might be an excellent move for him. And hopefully he's listening to the replay. If not, then I'm sure somebody will talk to him soon and maybe mention that. But, yeah, definitely a good play. Nice strike. Anything turning as far as where you would send stuff out?
Honestly, not sure, because a lot of the places you would normally send out, you know, stuff about a video sharing platform, they don't apply to a video sharing site like GunTube, because you've seen how the media has literally demoned anything relating to the Second Amendment.
Right. Now, so would there
it's be, difficult.
Would there be, and I guess for Hosh or G, would there be any merit if Nice Strike had a really good press release for GunTube? Would there be merit, or would it be abnormal in any way, I guess, to send that to venture capital firm or anything like that?
I know. I was just thinking of this while I was thinking of GunTube. He needs to send it to creators. He needs to send the press release to the creators that he wants to draw into his system.
Yeah, Nice Strike has so many potentials. He's just, he's actually trying really hard to not see them.
Yeah, I mean, that. So again, you got to think of what your market creators. Is, right?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking it. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we get, just like G-Web said, we get emails in our inbox every day about a new whiz-bang product that has just come out. Well, what is GunTube? It's a new whiz-bang product that's a twist on a product that already exists that people are probably frustrated with, particularly in the gun community. So that's your target market right there. And the ad, so the ads and all that stuff will follow when you have a larger base of people using the product, right? I would think. So to me.
Yeah, but I have to be able to facilitate those users in order to be able to get that.
You got to put down that money. Put down that cash. Pay for that bandwidth, buddy. I don't know what else to say to that one.
No, yeah. Here's what you tell them. You can have a working model that shows proof of concept. You don't have to have accomplished the thing you're asking for money to build. Mm-hmm. They don't expect you to have built the final product when you're seeking venture capital. They want a working model that proves proof of theory. Mm-hmm. So, move on past perfection and get money.
So that's playing more towards the investor side, which again, both sides, you should have a letter for both sides of the house on that one.
Well, and I'm guessing there's going to be publications and places that, you know, you could send those to that where investors are reading, right? Or investors would be looking.
Yeah. What if, I don't know. There's probably some kind of angel investor publication. There's probably some kind of new media publication system that's looking for things in new media that they could potentially invest in.
Right.
That would be your avenue to look at. I mean, I think of the Shark Tank for whatever exists for on a website or on a, you know, some kind of publication, possibly even an email group.
Right. That guy's wife, are you thinking about any particular organizations or where you would send the things out?
Well, for my stuff particular at the moment, no, but something that was going through my mind while kind of listening to you and G and Posh over there talk and talk to Budget and Gary and stuff, local pawn shops or local gun stores, things like that. Especially about like your YouTube channels or your gun streamer channels, things like that. Because do you know how many people go into these stores that have no idea that there are YouTube channels out there that specifically talk about all this stuff right here?
That's an interesting thought.
That's on my list already. So that's
Real good.
That's perfect, because like you just said, they don't know that you're around the corner. They don't know that you're interested. They might think you cost money, and they might not even know that such a thing exists. They're definitely looking at what it costs to put money on a billboard, what it costs to put money on a bus bench, what it costs to put it in the newspaper, what it costs to put it in the phone book. And when you come along and you're free and you can give them metrics and you're interested in what they're doing and you're not like the bus stop and the billboard and the whatever else, because you're to them, the gun shop is just one of many, many, many customers. And some of those customers are people who are making bank, like, you know, business people or cars or something that's just making a ton of money, so they can charge whatever they want for premium advertising, and that gun shop is just sitting there trying to get by. So they're hoping that they'll even get ad space in some of these publications. You're coming along and offering to be an ally and have knowledge for stuff that they don't have time to pursue. Yeah, I think that's brilliant. Even the shops that you don't think would be interested, you might stumble across an email that goes out to the best gun shop in town, and all of a sudden you're funded.
Mm-hmm. Right. Gary, other than the obvious one, which is the Kansas Poultry Association, what are you thinking about different avenues for distribution that you could potentially use?
Well, the first thing that came to mind, it may be along the wrong lines, but I was thinking maybe the Kansas State Rifle Association, maybe get some publicity through them.
Right. Yeah, I think the state, the idea of the state organizations, I think the idea, you know, and most of all state organizations have their print publication as well.
Yes, so, they do.
And I know I've written a couple of articles for the one here before. So, you know, that could lead to, it may not lead to necessarily to them featuring a video or doing anything like that, but certainly could lead to them having you to write an article for them or something.
They've already solicited me for an article.
That's good. That would be great exposure, I think. So that's a good one. I like the idea, like I said, with what Sandy was mentioning about everybody trying to bring in, you know, kind of start small, start, you know, from your state. But then that guy's wife brings up the local gun shop, which is an even smaller thing. So when we were talking about that focus group, talking about specificity with our distribution, yeah, starting on that local level and growing out from there could be a very interesting approach. G-Webs, what are you thinking on the distribution side of things?
There's the list that I came up with as you guys were talking. So Armenthia already came up with the local gun shop. So I'll start on the where I started. So other podcasts, people that are doing the same thing you're doing. Let me first start off with, I would think, again, as a what we're talking about is the press release. So the press release originates from traditional media and publications and the editorial page and the whatever, the what was it called when the editor would actually like address something in depth, an editorial, I guess. Anyway, so we're talking like the old procedures to deal with print media that either came out weekly, daily, monthly, you know, quarterly, whatever, and they had X amount of space in their pages and this kind of thing, and they looked for certain things. So you would build this correspondence with them in accordance to this system. And now that that's gone to the internet and we're talking about that, and what you create for that is basically a brochure. I mean, if this was printed, we're talking about emails basically that we're sending to contacts. And we're talking now about where do we find these contacts, right? But I'm going back to the email, the thing that we're talking about, if it was printed, we're probably talking about a page or maybe a page and the other side of a page, but we're not talking about a lengthy, wordy thing. We're talking about something that is brief. It catches the eye. It's full of the pertinent information and hopefully in an interesting enough, creatively interesting way that it influences their decision to open it or to include it in their content, right? So what we're talking about is like a professional looking introduction page. And that's when I'm thinking press release. So what we're talking about in it focusing on is either a podcast or an event or a project or some campaign or whatever it happens to be about. But we're talking about this nice package that we're introducing ourselves to these entities. And that's where I see the potential, because once we've created that brief, efficient way to introduce ourselves, the method of introduction itself is professional. So it's not like it's creating the excuse to talk to them. You're saying, excuse me, here's my press release, as if you're saying, excuse me, here's something that you know what to do with. Like, here, I'm not interrupting you. I'm just simply, you know, in this transaction with you. You're in business, I'm in business, I'm giving you a press release, you take it. So it's basically the same as your email address, accepting them all day long, except you're initiating it intentionally, right? And for some of these, you're gonna do it literally on a piece of paper, perhaps. But once you've come up with that brief, you know, project description or appeal for a campaign or something, I'm thinking other podcasts, because those people are doing the exact same thing you're doing, maybe to a different audience or whatever, but they should be a pretty similar minded. I'm preaching to the choir. We all do that. So we know about each other. And then people outside of our realm, though, like Armenthia said, gun shops, so that was the second thing on my list. The existing gun blogs that are out there. So not so much the podcasters or video people, but literally the bloggers that are out there. Some of those blogs are huge. And there are people, for whatever reasons, don't watch the internet. They read the internet, and you get a massive reach with those blogs. And once you have a relationship with those blogs, they can point you to others. Like, oh, this is a little bit more like what this blog writes about. Contact this person. And then, you know, now you know two people at blogs. Your third article comes out and it's about something different. They both send you to this third guy. Now you have a network of people that you can send stuff to according to what the topic is, right? So those existing blogs are worth pursuing. And once you can give them something that they can use efficiently, all of a sudden your relationship with them is at a more professional level. I got traditional media, because of course we're talking about making something that's, you know, designed to work with traditional media in a traditional way. So swamp them with it. In fact, I would think that if I had more time, I think I'm the kind of person that I would find it interesting if I had something like this Patch Batch and more time on my hands to just keep sending that thing out to like USA Today and Time Magazine, or like the equivalents of, you know, whatever the mainstream media is, just as sort of a social experiment. Because if one of them does catch and it goes viral, everybody's rich. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It would be just kind of neat to have a couple of people with the, how many millions of gun owners are there? How many millions of them are online? Can we have at least 16 of them that think it would be a challenge to advocate for gun projects and try to get one of us viral, you know, using maybe established, you know, procedures that seem to work for helping things go viral? Like, what if there was a channel out there that did nothing but try to make other projects go viral? How interesting would that be to watch? So the traditional media, what if someone took the challenge to say, I want my podcast to have had an interview or to be listed in a newsletter or to be mentioned on a website from each of the 50 states? So maybe maybe it's not who in a general sense do I contact, but maybe it's focused. Maybe you give yourself a challenge. I want to be on every podcast in Texas. I want to be on a podcast in every state. I want to be on a podcast in every part of this region, you know, whatever. Give yourself some sort of challenge like that and work towards it. Paper magazines. I've been in a couple of publications. So there's a couple of my websites are in books. And I thought that was really cool, because now forever, because all those books are in the Congress, what do they call it? The Library of Congress. Like, I have my websites that I built in the Library of Congress because they're in books. The first one came along and asked me, and then after that I started pursuing it for a little while because I thought it was interesting. Once I figured out it was just a matter of sending out emails and eventually they're going to say, thanks, sure. At least back then, it got boring. But consider there's always people creating new books, and it's a lot of those publish-on-demand books. Those people who are writing those, especially if they're writing a lot, they might be looking for content. So a brief, you know, a good press release going to an author might get you in a publication. Should I keep going, or is this taking too long?
No, you're fine. Keep going.
All right. So in addition to paper magazines, you've got the authors, which I just said. Now, I know like Mike Detty, you know, an author. I can get him on anytime we want to talk to him. He lives down the street. And, you know, I know other authors, and I just don't pursue it because I've done it before, but I never thought about it. But I could be sending out these press releases to these authors I know, because they, again, are familiar with the old techniques of, and they have the Rolodexes, so they know who to send this stuff to. If I, again, had all kinds of time on my hands, I could probably track down from these authors more resources on more tips and tricks on this kind of thing. Now, anything you do, you should always ask the people you send it to. So you send something and they say, oh, this isn't for us. Say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. Do you know who this is good for? So there, you've met somebody who said no, but that means they know somebody. And even if you gave it to somebody and they said, perfect, we're going to use this next week, you can ask, do you know anybody else I should send this to? So once you're in the industry network and ask that question, civic organizations, again, hold on, I got to drink something.
Yeah, you've been on a roll.
Yeah, I had a lot of them because this is an interesting one. I'm really glad we started talking about this.
Right.
I think it is a strategic tool that we haven't used, and I think it's powerful. So we've got civic organizations, both the ones that people do for service projects and then the ones for capitalism. Either way, those people are both looking for content. I belong to some business organizations that are local. I'm sure somebody listening out there has belong to business organizations. Often they have guest speakers and they have newsletters, and they're always looking for something interesting to put in there. If you're looking for eyeballs, that's one thing, but those specific eyeballs are either leaders of the community, because typically people that are in service-oriented civic organizations aren't assholes, right? They usually are good people. Mm-hmm. And then people that are in business organizations like that are looking for business opportunities. So those are worthwhile eyeballs to get in front of. If you haven't explored what your local business and civic organizations have to offer, that might be a good exercise in just discovering what they are, because you're going to be sending them each a newsletter about your project or whatever. They might ask you to come in and say, what's it like to be a podcaster, a Second Amendment podcaster? You might do some outreach. You might do some networking that way. Boots on the ground, meeting potential investors. You might find out that the local concrete guy is doing gangbusters. He's just making money hand over fist, and he's looking for ways to invest that money. And then he's super pro 2A, and everybody he knows is anti. And you come along and say, hey, I'm this guy trying to do my thing, and I certainly wish my 2A hosting platform made more than $53 a month on Patreon. And he says, 53, why don't we put six zeros behind that and see what happens? And then we never see Night Strike again. So, you've got civic
organizations. No, you'll still see me.
Got firearms, any manufacturers that you know of. If you want to tour them or their organization, if you want to do an interview with them, that's a great way to again, the press release itself is an introduction. Hey, I'm just offering you this press release just to let you know I'm here. If you're awkward or not used to just saying, you need to be on my show next Wednesday, we don't know each other, but here's the link. You know, if you're not going to do that, then maybe you say, here's a press release. I do this show. Can you tell me who might be an interesting guest? But it's a means of introduction that isn't spammy, I guess is the right to say it, because you're kind of in a traditional business information transaction. Okay, with that, I'm done. Hopefully I gave people some inspiration to do it.
Yeah, I think there's
no what happened, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely something that I want to follow up on because, man, I'm just kind of starting out with this. I haven't sent out anything yet. I do the newsletter, which is it's more of a visual format than it is a, a text format. It's a very similar type thing. And, I'm looking forward to getting in it. So we definitely want to come back and down the road and do another podcast and follow up and kind of see – what's working, have you tried it? And if so, what have you done and what's worked and what hasn't worked? And, kind of give some people out there that may be starting new at that particular point, kind of give them some direction. Cause it's like you always say, G Webs, there's plenty of people out here, doing these things that there's no reason to, for somebody to keep running through the puddles and the potholes. We can't do all of the work for people, of course, but there's people out here with the experience that can certainly help out. Now, Hosh, we did talk a little bit about G-Webs did about sending I don't know, I view it kind of as the Hail Mary pass, and he was talking about
sending, yeah, exactly,
you know, sending things to Time or Newsweek or, you know, whoever it might be, just on the off chance that, you know, something sticks. But what were your thoughts on the anti-gun or, you know, the indifferent groups that may be out there?
Well, I mean, if it's a really positive message, or if it's like a safety minded message, or you have evidence of, like, again, safety or something in that realm, then that might not be a bad way to go, because sometimes, you know, Times, or maybe not Times, but some of the publications that aren't maybe fully openly anti-gun are still looking for an example of, like, this is a different news story. And it's like a non-violent version of something that some people may have a gut reaction to, so that it's a good positive piece that is possibly different than what their readers normally experience. Again, I'm with you. I think it's a Hail Mary pass, but I think it's still an interesting one, particularly if you get good at it and you've got a lot of these down. You might want to just try for it and say, hey, I got a form letter or a form version of this that's pretty okay, that I'll just try and fire it off to some of the major groups and see if anything comes back. Because if you've already done it, then why not?
Rather than just, like, being there, like, for the coincidence that you're going to, like, be able to challenge preconceived notions, which I think is what you're saying. Like, maybe they think, hey, let's do a story that challenges our audience a little bit and gives them a little, you know, challenge to what they think gun owners are like. If you never send them that press release, they never know you're out there. So I don't think necessarily, like, just because you're doing something that ends this Thursday and they look at it 6 weeks from now, I think it's possible that if you send something to these big publications on a regular basis, don't you think it's possible that they'll not just throw everything away, but maybe file some of these things so that in the future, if they do need a pro to a such and such, or a person who likes 4x4 trucks, or somebody who, you know, knows how to weld chain link, then they have that in some kind of list? Or do you think they just, I don't know, that's, I guess, my other potential, that if you do it on a periodic basis, maybe they put you in their Rolodex, and when they need an expert in the field, you're there as an option?
Yeah, I think you're right on. If you don't try, the answer is no, always. So it's kind of like, if you're already doing it and you already have something that you think would possibly work. Again, you kind of have to look at the audience and what your target is, like we started this off with, then it won't hurt. If anything, you may get some kind of angry individuals that come to your video, but that only strengthens your base that you already have in a lot of ways. So I don't know. I'm interested in other people's thoughts on this, because that, I think, was one of the things we spoke about when we first started, like, talking about this. So I haven't necessarily come up with a good solution other than try it and why not, kind of like G-Webs was saying. So, you know, why not? I guess that's what I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're off to a good start. After tonight, especially, I think we've got at least the ones on the panel here, and hopefully a few out there in the chat and listening and replay, that you know, are willing to give it a shot, and then maybe come back on later and talk about some of the experiences, and then we'll know, and we can kind of tailor the approach, you know, just moving forward on that feedback that we get, and that's really all we can do.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm while my brain is still going over here. Okay, so say we went to SHOT Show and we picked up business cards and introduced ourselves and stuff like that. We came back, we put a press release together based on our website, or like on my blog or my YouTube channel, my gun streamer, all that. And that is what I would turn around and send that to that company to let them know, this is who I am and this is what I can do for you, or what I might have to offer.
I think that would be one approach. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you might have to research the company a little bit instead of just shotgunning something out there and saying, you know, right, here's what I do, I hope it sticks. You know, maybe say, you know, we've got kind of a parallel kind of interest area, or you know, similar type of things that we might be able to play off of each other.
Right.
Well, or if you do, you know, what I'm thinking is what with like Far on Friday, I mean, that covers a wide spectrum of things. So I could write a fairly specific press release on Firearm Friday and what we do. And that would apply to multiple companies and multiple organizations and even authors and Second Amendment activists and, you know, all of that stuff. So, yeah, it depends. I guess it depends on, you know, on the topic at hand. So with that, let's start closing up shop a little bit. We've got a daily gun show that'll kick off here shortly. We've already corked it a little bit. We'll start on the opposite end of the room with all of our plugs and promotions and whatever else. So that guy's wife, take it away.
Thank you for having me. I'm Armenthia with Gun Gals. We will be live Sunday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, That Guy's Wife has a blog. It's www.thatguyswifemedia.com. I also have a logo contest going on. It runs through the end of this month, midnight, March 31st. I'm looking for a logo for that'll fit my blog, that'll fit my channel. Basically pro 2A learning, education, stuff like that. So just shoot me email. It's armenthia@thatguyswifemedia.com. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Nice strike. What do you got going on?
Check out guntube.org. Check out my YouTube channel. I'm putting out more content again now because I actually have something to take content with again. So... check me out on YouTube. What is it? Night Strike 1, I think it is. And, you know, we do hit or miss every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. And we also do the Friday Night Strike at 6, which I may not be doing this week because of things. So, but normally it's Friday night at 6 o'clock.
Gotcha. Budget, you're up.
As always, thanks for the invite to this show. This was a really good one and has definitely spurred some thought. You guys can catch me here on YouTube at Budget Guns and Gear Reviews. You can also catch me at my website, www.budgetgunsandgear.com. As Clover mentioned earlier, I'm now writing some articles here and there for gearreport.com, so you can catch my content there too. Do my weekly show every Friday night, 7 p.m., The Right of the People, on my YouTube channel and simulcast over on Gun Channels. So make sure that you go over there to Gun Channels and sign up for the water cooler of the Internet Second Amendment community. Thanks.
You bet. And Mr. Hosh.
Yeah. So tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is the Ham Radio Crash Course. So if anybody is interested in amateur radio or things along those lines, I'm actually, oddly enough, I'm going to be interviewing USNER Doc tomorrow. So it's going to be an interview that I'm going to have. We're going to be talking about comms, medical, and preparedness with a kind of a communications mindset or basis. I stream every Friday and, you know, I'm on the YouTube. I stream on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube.
I haven't been able to get him nailed down just yet. He's apparently got a hectic schedule, but
he does. I've worked with him for a while, so yeah.
That's on the burner for me, you know, on a back burner for now. But hopefully, we get him on eventually. And I added you to the. You weren't on the email list for this show, so I did get you added. So anytime you want to jump in, feel free. And I appreciate you tonight, particularly because this is something that you know you have with your wife experience in and. And we're all just getting started.
So, oh, yeah. I love you guys. I love everything out here. Obviously. And I've just been so busy with the kids and everything else going on. So you know how it is. But thank you. I very much appreciate the invite.
You bet. Thanks for joining. G, what you got other than the 2A patch batch?
I don't have anything that I've got the... Nope, I don't have anything. I was
going to
do something, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, fine.
I'm done.
Keep it a secret for later.
I figure we've accomplished enough for what we're going to do. So
gotcha. That's fine. So yeah, check out the Daily Gun Show, of course, midnight, weeknights. Mr. Gizzard, bring her home, buddy.
All right. Well, once again, thanks for the invite. Check out my website for links to all my social media. That is www.gizzardgary.com. Also, I do a show every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. It's called Foul Territory. Love to have everybody there. Also, last week, I tried a Sunday morning show, called it the Early Bird Chat, and it went over really well, so we may do that again this Sunday, so look for it. I'm not real sure that there's a fixed time, but probably sometime after 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, we'll try to do an impromptu chat and just talk about whatever. So like, share, and subscribe to everybody on the panel, especially to CloverTac. And once again, thanks for the invite. Great show.
You bet. And it's good to see you. See you trying some extra things. It's all about trying new things. And that's sort of what tonight's chat was about, of course. So thank you everybody out there who joined us live in the chat. Gee.
Yeah. I was outside there. Yeah. I got my thoughts. I was just answering an email there. Of course, I got a crazy email in the middle of nowhere, and I decided to read it in the middle of the show. So I had to take a second there. I do have something I'm planning on doing tomorrow for Free Patch Friday. So just watch the channel or whatever, or head over to Gun Channels for that. And then I have a suggestion for Gary, since it sounds like what you're talking about is the Sunday morning leftovers from Friday night.
What? Possibility.
Just putting that out.
Cold chicken. Yeah.
I'll just wrap that up in tinfoil and leave that there for you.
Cold chicken. That would be a good one. So, everybody out there in the chat, thanks for hopping in. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for learning with us. If you're in replay, if you're listening to this, then by all means, if you have questions, comments, throw those below. We'd be happy to get on them. As far as CloverTac.com will get you pretty much wherever you need to go, whatever social media, audio, video, podcast platform that you use. We're probably there, and you can find links there fairly easily. The 1,000-round review of the Walther PPQ is out, so you definitely want to check that one out. And bright and early Friday morning. For some people, that's already Friday morning, but bright and early Friday morning, 6, I believe, Central, the Final Friday podcast will start dropping across all of those media platforms as well. And we have WMD Guns in the house this week. So if you're interested in particularly firearms coatings, that should be a good one. You should be able to geek out over that pretty well. With that, we're going to call it a night after hours is done. Thanks for talking nerdy, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.